pity you Autobots die so easily, or I might have a sense of satisfaction now.
You got the touch! You got the...
Arise, Latimus Prime.
Optimus.
Yeah!
No. Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
No! I'll crush you with my bare hands!
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. I am TF2 and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. He's off playing with his rubber ducky or something. I don't know. He's off, you know, putting his cloak on in Beast Machines or something. But today is episode 9 of All Things Transformers Origins. It is a milestone episode because for the first time, we have the very first female Transformers fan on the show. We have Hahi Prime with us. Hello.
Girl power.
Yeah, this is going to be weird, just the two of us. Because I'm used to having Hahi Prime here. I'm used to having Heather here along with Amy and Nicole and just...
We talk.
Yeah. It's like, start a Skype call. 30 minutes later, Mike, are you still with us? Yeah, I'm just listening. Oh god,
I will let you get your thoughts in.
No, it's alright. So we're here to get Hahi Prime's origins, and yeah, did you grow up with Transformers, and what age do you remember noticing the franchise?
Okay, this is going to be fun, and Mike, thanks for having me on, I appreciate it. Okay, so growing up with Transformers, I didn't, because we didn't have a television, so I couldn't watch the show. And I would go over to my friend's house, and we would watch Mask, because that was what he liked. And so I got into that, and I got into those toys. And I was only vaguely aware of Transformers. But then when the movie came out in 07, it caught me right at the perfect nostalgic time, because I remembered that it was a thing that existed, but I wasn't wedded to anything specific. So I just went in with like a completely open mind and loved it. And then went back and watched all of G1 on YouTube and went, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah, so I noticed it 10 years ago. It was a good year and it's been a good decade.
Yep. So what Transformers generation is your generation and why?
My generation is G1. I really, when I went back to watch all those shows, I got completely absorbed in it, because I had, from that first watching of the movie, I'd really latched onto the character of Optimus Prime and done my whole I am him thing, which I do for characters that I really like. But for the first time, there was an expanding universe to play in. Every other time, there's been a character that I just decided I was going to spend the rest of my life LARPing. It was based on one thing. And Transformers was a thing that was continually growing. And so I went through G1 as Optimus Prime, experiencing all of it. So things like... I can't think of anything specific in the first few. I just really, really enjoyed the first few seasons. But when the movie was coming up, I was terrified because I was going to die. And I was worried there wouldn't be anything left to play in. you know?
Technically, you already did die in the one true Transformers movie. Megatron, you know, shot you in the, you know.
That's what I mean, the 86 movie.
Oh, okay.
I did that in order. I watched the 07 Michael Bay movie, and then I went back and did the whole thing in order. So I watched season one and season two, and then I did the movie.
Okay.
And then I went to season three, and I think a lot of the reason why I have so much resentment of Hot Rod is that he took away my person I was being.
He was chosen by the person you were being. There is no takeaway. Optimus died.
It's pretend time. My sense. It just has to be my world. But then, like, so I got to tell you about watching Dark Awakening because it was because I okay. That whole scene where the Quintessons are like opening up my chest and messing around in there, I was like, this is like a really rapey thing and I'm uncomfortable. And nothing has squicked me out that bad up until like they started finger needlesing people in More Than Meets the Eye. That was that same horrible thing. But the fact that they are robots and you can technically reprogram them is fascinating to me.
Mm.
And it's a cool way of thinking about humanity too. So yeah, what has kept me in Transformers is the way it the specific window it gives me into thinking about humanity, and I love coming at things from the side and thinking about them in new ways. So yeah, anyway, long
Absolutely.
Answer to your question.
What other generations of the Transformers do you like?
Okay, so let's do it this way. I love all of them except for Beast Machines is freaky, but deserves a rewatch. Still super freaky. Scares the crap out of me. The designs are creepy. But I have like a weird soft spot for, like you were saying, what's his face and his, you know, putting on his cape. And I'm like, I have a weird soft spot for that version of Megatron because he's so conflicted with that cognitive dissonance of trying to be something he isn't. That's cool. Okay, so not super big into Beast Machines. I never gave the old R.I.D. a chance. I just couldn't get into it. And I haven't given the new R.I.D. much of a chance either because I don't care. Should care, don't care. But at this point, I've had enough Transformers to start to feel like, you know what, this is retreading something that I've already experienced and I don't feel like I need it. Like I haven't watched every episode of Rescue Bots either, not because it's not the cutest show ever, but because I don't need cute show right now. Because I'm a feels addict. Like, nah, give me like something to really chew on, man. Make me think about hard stuff.
Basically, you know, cut your heart lengthways.
Oh my gosh, okay, that was actually really good.
Friggin' Roberts.
It is really somewhat distressing how much of a masochist I am sometimes.
I thought you were going to say how much of a masochist he is. Because that guy.
Yeah. But see, that's his deal, though. I'm only responsible for me.
So you've only been in the fandom kind of for the last 10 years or so. What was the first Transformers toy you were able to grab?
Okay, man, this has been such a good 10 years, Mike. Such a good 10 years. I'm so grateful for Transformers. Okay, first toy we ever got, when the 07 movie came out, all of us in my family, I had only three of my four kids at the time, and myself, my husband, and the three kids all took on Transformers identities. And my daughter was only a baby, and she became Jazz. And the very first toy we got was the battle-damaged Jazz, which is really hard to find, like, if I'd known. But, like, I don't believe in keeping toys pristine in boxes, except for my War Within guys, because if you get them out of the box, they break. So they live in their boxes. Mm-hmm. But everybody else is out for playing with, because they're real and they should be played with. But so yeah, I'm like, you know, we could have sold that toy on eBay and made a lot of money, but I'm never gonna do that. I'm never gonna be like, dear eBay, I've got a super weird rare toy for sale, do you want it? So I'm like, no, it's my other child, we don't sell toys. But anyway, that was the first one we got.
For a second there, I thought you were gonna say, no, we don't sell children.
Poor children. No, like because the whole family is just immersed in this Transformers culture now, which is really fun. I don't know that anybody would be super down with selling any people.
Yeah. So I did this when I was a kid. I don't do it anymore. And you had already mentioned LARPing. And LARPing 32 years ago wasn't what it is today. We didn't get dressed up in costumes or whatever else. We just got on a playground and said, I'm going to be this character and I'm going to shoot you in the face or I'm going to shoot you in the arm or whatever else. Do your kids do any Transformers pretending, let's call it?
Yeah, they do, and especially the first few years of being in the fandom, we all would together. We would totally be, we would be our characters. So I would be Prime, and my husband would be Ironhide, and my oldest would be Bumblebee, and my middle one would be Ratchet, and we would all just like do stuff as the characters. We still, to this day, we'll take imaginary characters with us when we do stuff. Like the other day, we were at the water park, and my daughter was like, I've got imaginary. She was taking an Undertale character with her. She's like, I've got imaginary Sans. And I'm like, I will bring. And then I, laugh. I'm like, I'm going to bring imaginary Megatron in his, like, Hall of Matter avatar and be like, water megs. It's fun. Here's the wave pool. And so we're like sitting there being like, what would so and so do? And then we're like, okay, you know what? If Megatron was here, like in robot mode, we would have to get a bunch of tubes to float him, and he would pretend like he didn't like it, but then he would really start to dig it. And then, like, just, going down the slides and being like, we were going down the slides, and we both, like, forgot to bring our imaginary person. We're like, hang on, we have to go bring him. We have to remember to bring him this time when we go down
Oh
the slides. But like all the time, we'll be like, okay, so and so's sitting there, and here's the we just tend to bring characters with us, and it's fun.
Going to the water park, I thought you were gonna say, we brought Skybite
Oh man, yeah, no, we have totally. I can't remember the particulars, but there was something
with
we were like totally. Oh my gosh, it's Skybite!
us. Yeah. All right. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? The Quintessons are about ready to, send you off into the Sharkticon pit. Who do you choose? You can pick one Decepticon and one Autobot.
Me and Megatron.
So, for those of you listening and, wondering why she said me and Me, it's Optimus and Megatron. Okay.
It's really bad. Like, I gotta get out of that habit, but I don't want to.
Why throw away your life so recklessly? I thought you were made of sterner stuff.
My question is, why isn't your husband jealous of this at this point?
We've had discussions. But like so he is Movieverse Ironhide, and there is a part of me that totally ships Movieverse Prime and Ironhide. So we're down. We're good. And now you know. You're like,
And
I'm just gonna
knowing
be
is
like
not
Prime.
half
It's
the
fine.
battle. Yeah, I'm just gonna sit over here and just wait.
He is super good though. Like, oh my gosh. Because he knows that that is a way to get me to get to the heart of hard things sometimes. Like, we were talking about something really hard one time. He's like, what does Megatron think? And I'm like, he doesn't even know about this. He is like clueless about this aspect of something. And but other times I'll be like, well, or like something will happen, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Megatron is so amused right now, and he's just down. Like he oh man, I'm really lucky actually. 'Cause they're fun.
Absolutely. What are some of the other Transformers characters you like and why?
Dang it, Mike, there's so many good ones, and that's why this fandom is awesome. So I just went and picked a few random ones. I really, really like Ironhide, not just because I'm married to a dude who is him, but he's just a good character. He's solid, and he's chill, and he doesn't overthink stuff. He just does it. Mm-hmm. And
every time I look into a monitor, Prime, my circuits sizzle.
Hey, he just walked in. Speaking of Ironhide, hey, him. I like Rhinox because he is the strong, gentle type and smart. And I like, he's like, are you podcasting? I like Iron Fist because he is the one who, he's the first time I did let myself just absolutely get punched in the heart by the feels. I was like, oh my gosh. So I, you know how sometimes the first time something happens, you that becomes the token.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Iron Fist is a token. Like, if you missed Wreckers, then I think Tailgate serves that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I understand Starscream way too well because he has all of the same weaknesses that I have, at least in my understanding of him.
Oh, how it pains me to do this!
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I hate him, but I have to love him. Like, he's that really, really problematic pet that always pees on the carpet, but you have to take care of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a weird thing about being Prime is that I'm responsible for everything. So, like, responsible for Starscream.
Leaking lubricants. Oh, God. Are there any Transformers characters you hate?
Getaway can die in a fire. Getaway can get stuck in that smelting thing that Tarn had, and I will push the button. And then I'll have guilt, because I'm Prime. That was an action that was beneath me. But he has done horrible, unforgivable stuff, and people who gaslight and manipulate people need to die.
Yes, they do.
I'm glad you agree. There are people who like Getaway. There are people who are like...
I don't get that.
At the rage other people feel towards Getaway and are like apologists for him and defend him. And I'm not going to get up in their faces about it because I know that my hatred of him is based on some real life crap that's pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't have that, then, you know, they're allowed to be like, you know what? We shouldn't forgive Megatron. And that's something that I can't do. I'm like, nope. It is part of who I am that you have to give everyone a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I should give Getaway a chance, but he crossed the line.
Yeah, the only thing that really requires everyone should get a chance, I mean, the most deserving one, obviously, is Rodimus.
Oh my god.
If you're gonna ride, Dano, ride in style.
I don't hate him. He just usurped me.
You chose him. You got shot. And you...
Oh, you know what, Mike? That's what it is. It's that I, Hahi, would not have chosen Hot Rod. I would have chosen Ultra Magnus. And I did. I Prime did. I tried to give it to Magnus. And he's like,
I can't deal with that now.
And then the Matrix chooses Blinkin' Roddy.
Hey.
I didn't.
When the Matrix is right, the Matrix is right. You know.
Well, that's another trippy thing. Is the Matrix right all the time?
Yes, it is.
That's like a really interesting thought experiment, because it is, you know, there's a couple of versions of the Matrix now, both of which are fascinating, but the G1 one is, it's the repository of all of the wisdom of the previous Primes.
Yes.
But they are from a long time ago.
But here's the thing. If you look at it in the timeline of G1, yes, Alpha Trion was before Optimus and yada, 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 and you can work in your own way of getting the Matrix from Trion to Prime and all of that. And because if I remember correctly, and it's late, and this is our second take on this, so I don't remember, I'm pretty sure they never actually explained how Optimus got the Matrix in the cartoon series. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not here to dissect that. I'm just saying, if you look at Season 3... when Rodimus short-circuited himself and went deep back into the Matrix to try to find out who the damn enemies were. You find out it's the Quintessons. You know, you have all these various primes leading up to Optimus. So Optimus at that point had the most wisdom. And then, you know, he chose Hot Rod to become Rodimus Prime. You know, and then Rodimus, you know, can go forward.
Oh, you mean the Arise Rodimus Prime part?
Yeah.
Well, at that point, yeah, because he's the person who's there. And there is value in... No, listen. Because, like, there is a value... that being a good leader is knowing whom to choose and when. And when there's a person there who's maybe not the person who would have chosen in the first place, but you recognize can do it, then, yeah, you go, okay, you're the one who ended up being here.
I mean, really, seriously, who's Optimus going to choose when Unicron's imploding on himself? What's he going to choose? Springer? Please, hell no. Ugh,
that
Springer. That would have been a horrible choice.
Springer's no. He's not warlike, but he is Han Solo. And you need someone who's... Oh, man, I could go off on this so long, and I need to stop.
In the last 10 years, has your interest in the franchise gotten stronger or gotten weaker?
I think it's just gotten stronger because they're just, and this is the wonderful aspect of living now, there has just been more and more and more things to dig into and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just found more and more rewarding things the deeper I look. And it's so, yeah.
So was there ever a moment in the last 10 years where you just said, nope, I'm fed up, I'm done?
Oh, man, this is take two, but this is funny to me. Okay, so the only times are that Age of Extinction made me stop caring about the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave them a lot of trying. But I don't... And I mourn that. Because there were things that were rewarding for me in movie 1 and movie 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm done. But the funny thing is the day and a half where suddenly the comic books were just pictures on a page, and I went to my husband and went, they're just ink on paper, and I'm sad because they're not real anymore. And then the day after that, they went back to being my amazing holodeck that I experience panel by panel and that are totally immersive and that I believe and that are true.
So,
actually happening! You, like, if someone were at some point to videotape me reading comics in the comic book store parking lot in my car with the windows rolled up so that I can yell really loud, they would be amused. And I'm also horrified.
I'm sure we would be.
I blink and live comic books, Mike. There have been times when, like, I mean, there's the good times where you're like, yes! Or the time when I laughed for a good, like, belly laughter for multiple minutes at a time at the Orion Pax spotlight where, because there are two great jokes in there. One is about Prime's faceplate, and one is about, he goes... Bludgeon, and he's like, I need to talk to Megatron. And Bludgeon's like, he talks about you sometimes, but it's I don't want to repeat it because it'd be awkward for both of us. I laughed for like 3 minutes. Oh, but I have also like cried for half an hour.
Mm.
So that's the perils of comic books being real.
Yep. With the internet giving birth to the fans and all of us having a voice about what we like or what we don't like about Transformers, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
Okay. It's not always lost in the shuffle, but it mostly is, and that's okay with me. There are times when people will listen to my random opinions, and I'm always... really, really honored by that.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I think it's okay that my voice is only one of many, because I don't think it's healthy to have everyone... I think we should have a republic in this and not a democracy. where we go ahead and let the creators work, and we all together become a groundswell of what we collectively want. And sometimes we kind of get that. I think too, though, the reason I maybe am able to feel this way, and, you know, privileged to feel this way, is that things that I have wanted with my whole soul have been gifted unto me by the comic books. And so it wasn't because I specifically asked for them, but it was time, and there were enough people who thought that this was an actual possibility that it came about. And that is almost more rewarding than feeling like, you know, I told James to write X and he totally did and it was awesome.
What is your Transformers personal anthem song? Stan Bush's The Touch, Dare, something from the animated score, something from Brian Tyler's Prime score, something from Steve's movie scores.
From the safety of my basement room, I can say that I hate the 86 movie score. Although
what?
I did give Dare a re-listen, and I was like, you know what? I have not given this a fair shake. Dare is pretty good. You can win if you dare.
Now, okay, to be fair, you say that you hate the score. You mean just the licensed tracks?
I hate The Touch. I know.
Okay, Dirk, you ready?
Yeah, I was born ready, Nick. Let's go, man.
Dirk Diggler demo.
Keep the vocals up.
You got The Touch. Take 7. Excuse me, Reed.
I think we just broke the podcast, folks.
I am aware of this, but you know what? I've learned the power of not trying to pretend to be someone you're not, even though as I pretend to be a robot. But I do it because it's true to who I want to be. But like, I don't.
But that's Optimus's theme. That's...
I know, but I don't have to like it just because everybody says I should. And I think, honestly, like, if you're going to have Origins podcasts about people, mm-hmm. I think it's important to represent that there are different ways of being a Transformers fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I've really started to be a lot more vocal than I normally would be about the fact that I don't hate all the movies, mm-hmm. because I think it's important to be like, you know what? Sometimes people find really good, meaningful stuff in them, and that's okay. I feel like sometimes people feel a little bullied sometimes if they're not liking Transformers in the correct way.
Mm.
And we need to be open to everyone who's coming in. So, you know, that's why I hate the touch. I have decided that the Optimus theme from the first movie is good for me because it's thoughtful and it's pretty. And, yeah, I like it. It's got my name on it.
The reason why I asked you the difference between the licensed tracks and Vince DiCola's score, because Vince's score for the 86 movie, just the instrumental stuff, is amazing.
See, maybe I need to give it another try, but it's a... And this is funny because, like, I'm on this future-based jag where I'm just like, give me this, like, funky sort of syncopated electronica and I'm down. So you'd think I would be super down for Vince DiCola's stuff, but it doesn't do it for me. And it's possible that that's because I've never sat down and listened to a good, uncompressed version of it.
Hmm.
But it's also because I... well, I'm really going to get kicked out. I don't like the 86 movie either. And it's not because I gave The Matrix to that punk hot rod. It's because... I mean, that's part of it, obviously, but I don't like the animation style. I don't like the...
But it's G1.
I know, but it's harsher, and it's a movie. Like, G1 was allowed to be crappy animation because it was a Saturday morning 80s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
The animation in the movie is much higher quality, but it's jagged and sharp, and it's off-putting to me. It's still got that sort of Pokemon epilepsy-causing... flashiness to it. And I can it's also a problem that, you know, I watched all these things on YouTube, and so I've never sat on a good screen and watched it.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Like, all of season 3 I couldn't watch because it looks too weird and dark. Mm. And the Quintessons are weird and dark. And I don't get immersed in that movie the way I am immersed in all of the stuff I love about Transformers. Mm. I am watching it from the outside feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, and that being said, there are parts that are really beautiful and skillful and amazing. I mean, I do believe that the way they show Prime's death is extraordinarily powerful and brave for them to have done at that time. I mean, animated movie about children's toys going there in a way that I don't think had ever been done before, where they're like, no, we're going to show the passing of a beloved leader and the rise of a new one. That's incredibly brave, and I applaud them for that. And that scene is beautiful. But it just becomes so random as they sort of travel around meeting Junkions and Quintessons and weird water tentacle monsters that I can't... And also because they're all new characters that I am not as, you know, coming at it from just finishing G1, I wasn't as invested in. I mean, now I have a child named Magnus after Ultra Magnus. You know, I bling and love that guy.
But I had fun once. It was horrible.
Anyway, sorry. Going off for a long time.
Oh, boy. So outside of the G1 cartoon, how often do you go back and watch any of the other Transformers cartoons?
Not enough, because I never watch anything, because there's a little voice in my head that goes, you should be doing something useful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you got to give Beast Machines a fair shake. Now, the only reason why I say this is nothing to do with the content of the show and whatever else. The way I view Beast Wars and Beast Machines, specifically to Cheetor. Cheetor to me is the Beast era Hot Rod Rodimus.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You watch him through Beast Wars, he grows up. By the time the Feral Scream two-parter comes, once he gets transmetalized or whatever you want to call it, I would say he's around 15, 16, 17, somewhere around there. And when we get to Beast Machines and he, you know, gets reformatted, he's pretty much, you know, I would say somewhere mid-20s. You know, kind of an adult kind of thing. And, oh, God, I love that. But, yeah, give Beast Machines a fair shake, no matter how much emo Michael Jackson Night Scream freaks you out.
Yeah, I wish we lost that from the previous movie. Is a freaky emo Michael Jackson robot bat who scares me, and I can't look at him without feeling really, really uncomfortable and nightmarish. I think, too, Mike, honestly, once I just get a good TV, because our TV is crap and... Mm. It misses one of the sound channels.
Ooh,
and
dang.
So, like, and it's like one of the old giant, not flat screen, not good pixel TVs.
Yeah.
And so watching things is not as rewarding as it could be. Mm. And so I'm kind of, like, I own everything on DVD, but I'm kind of waiting until I have something good to watch them on, and then I will.
Yep. The next question, folks, we're going to be here all night for this. We all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you love and why?
I deeply love the comics. Okay, this is another one where it's much easier for me to say ones I don't like as much.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another place where I get kicked out of the fandom. But it's important to acknowledge everybody's different. I never could get into the Marvel ones because the art style is another thing that just visually shuts me out. I can't feel the characters as much. Due to the art.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, there are some stories that I like more, but I can't keep them in my head even. Like, I can't remember, oh yeah, this one panel where Such or Other happened, and it was amazing. There's one panel that I remember because it was such an emotional gut punch, and it is at the end of the whole Unicron arc, and Prime's just like, kneeling over Scorponok's body, and Scorponok actually, like, had been brave and selfless even though he was afraid. And Prime's just sad, and I'm such a sucker for, like, good guy and bad guy getting along, woo! And so there was that, but, like, it was just a really affecting panel. And when John Paul Bove did an homage to that for one of the anniversary covers, I was like, yes! And I totally went and got a print of it, and it's on my wall. And also, the Marvel comics were the introduction of Emo Prime, who goes off to the moon, but that's another thing. I own the first trade of Dreamwaves Generation 1, and I, blinking, love that. There are a lot of people who really hate it, and the art is silly, but there's some really, really good Prime in there. And everything is obviously not all about Prime, and it will obviously not be all about Prime as I progress, but yeah, I like that. I really have enjoyed all of IDW's run. I really, really like Infiltration. And then I kind of start to fall out a little bit as it gets toward Devastation and stuff. And then there's parts of All Hail Megatron that are amazing, where it's just beautiful. And then it'll just, like, plummet into worthlessness. And then there'll be an amazing part, and it plummets into worthlessness again. There's little bits in the ongoing where I just kind of stop caring, although Megatron guns are kind of a really cool concept. But once I am a More Than Meets the Eye baby. I love that series. It's imperfect, and I'm can I be honest, not a fan as much of Jack Lawrence's art.
Because I have not caught up with Lost Light yet, so
there's good stuff, but the art keeps me out a little bit because it's so animated, and I have friends who are like absolutely ride or die for Jack Lawrence because of that very thing. But once it becomes a cartoon, I can't take it seriously, and they aren't adults to me with agency; they are characters.
Yeah,
it's the same with Corin Howell, and I love her as a person. But her art on the Windblade books was a little too cutesy for me. Till All Are One has been phenomenal, especially these last few. The last four issues of the series have just... they have challenged me. They have been... what was it? Okay, so 11, 10, 9, 8, 7...
Cliffjumper, commence countdown! 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off!
Whatever the one was that was all about Starscream, that is the best Starscream writing I have ever read or seen.
It was interesting.
Incredibly good. And then they did this other... I wrote out a whole post about it because I was like, all right, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to say how I really feel. And then the internet ate it. there was an issue that had Blastoff leaning into Onslaught for a smooch. And I was like, robot smooching is a red line for me because it's too human. And it squicks me a little bit because I'm still over here in straight land.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And it's just a thing that I don't have good comprehension of yet, even though I'm trying. But it still squicks me, and I'm like, I'm all for conjuncts and Jura and everything. I just need them to not smooch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, that can be a thing. That can be a part of the continuity of the story. Just... do it off panel.
Do it off panel. That's the thing. That's why Transformers is autism. Is it one of the reasons? Is that it can be what every individual needs it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I've had really interesting conversations with people because I, Anode and Lug are two characters in Lost Light, and they're Anode is like a taller girl, and Lug is this short, adorable, swerve-looking girl. And I wanted Lug to be a little short dude so bad, because tall girl, who's kind of the boss of the relationship, and short little dude would be a really fun dynamic to explore for me.
So this is Lost Light, right?
Yeah, Lost Light.
Okay, so I have not read this yet, and all as I'm thinking is 1990, Days of Thunder, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, I've watched 5,000 more movies than I have watched. I never watched that one, and I like.
Basically, Tom Cruise is.
I never know any of your references.
Tom Cruise is shorter than Nicole Kidman.
That's
essentially.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the comic books are neat. They make me think, and I love that.
So when they did Dawn of the Autobots, what was your reaction to Megatron being an Autobot?
Oh my gosh. Okay, Mike. It's actually more complicated than you would think, because I don't want him to just be an Autobot. Like, me, my Megatron, still totally got a Decepticon symbol. But I can tell you where I was and when and okay, so I was downstairs. I was looking on DeviantArt, and Livio posted his cover with Megatron with an Autobot symbol. And because it was Livio's art, I didn't notice right away. I was like, oh, hey, there's Megatron. And then I noticed, and I did, like, the full clap hands to mouth, like, huge scream, trying not to action scream. And then my good pal was visiting, who's also a Transformers nerd, and we met on like a Transformers forum. And I go charging up the stairs. I'm like, Crummy, because she's Crummy. And I'm like, Crummy, Megatron's wearing an Autobot symbol. And I was high on that for weeks. Like, I went to my art group and I'm like, you guys, Megatron's wearing an Autobot symbol. You realize how big of a deal this is? And like, oh my gosh, that scene at the end of Blinken, Dark Cybertron is why I can't hate on Dark Cybertron. It had so many issues, but like, there were bits of it that I absolutely loved, and one of them is, yes, Roddy telling me that I have to be Prime. It was a good speech, it was well written. But that little last bit where like me and Megatron are just talking and being like, okay, are you serious? If you are you ready to deal with the consequences of this? Okay, let's go. And I was like, ah! Like, if you can see me right now, I'm like leaned back in my chair with my arms flailing around. It's just, oh man, like, oh, I wanted it so bad. And they were like, here you go. And I'm like, thank you. And just, and maybe that's why I get so mad at how Prime has sort of fallen off a cliff in terms of knowing what to do. Because Megatron has really found himself, and Prime has lost himself.
Well, maybe John will, you know, finally come to the realization that Rodimus is better, and they'll kill Optimus and give the Matrix to Rodimus, and everything will be
like,
hunky-dory.
I have Roddy, you can't take him.
The Matrix will seek him out like the Green Lantern ring. Alright, how big is your Transformers toy collection?
Okay, by this point, it's pretty big. they are all out, because we play with our toys. I have no idea how many there are. A lot. we don't buy like every toy that ever comes out, but they're just fun. And if there's a toy of a robot person that I love, it will be really hard for me to not get. I don't own very many Megatron toys at all. I own like lots of Primes. I own the big MP01, which is precious. And I own a really awesome Dark of the Moon Deluxe that I love. He's got backpackitis, but I don't care. His alt mode is the true and glorious Movieverse Prime Truck. Fight me. It's better than the Flat Nose, even though the Flat Nose is true. But there just haven't been good Megatron toys. But, yeah.
There's Masterpiece Megatron. I mean, No. I'm talking about the newer versions of it, not the original.
I've been looking at that one. That one is close. And the one that they came out with a year or two ago where he turns into a tank is... I thought that one was going to be the true one. But I didn't end up getting it because it just didn't speak to me. Like, I will buy a toy if it looks out of the package and goes, I am the person, free me now. Like, the other day, I picked up a teeny little, whatever, it's like Titans Return, or I don't know, but the brand new Bumblebee that just came out, because he looked out of the package and he was like the way Sarah Peter DeRoche draws him. And I'm like, there he is. I need to buy him. And then we got him out of the package, and you can fit a tiny little headmaster dude in the driver's seat. And I was not prepared, and it was adorable. And holy cow.
Yep. All right. So in this scenario, everybody, every human person is safe. Let's say the house burns down, the whole family gets out, but you can only save one Transformers toy. Basically, what Transformers toy could you never, ever, ever part with, and why, and who would it be?
Okay. I instantly narrow it down to two, even though there's a lot that I care a lot about. Mm-hmm. And the two that I narrow it down to are my MP01 and Springer.
Springer? What the hell?
Okay, Mike, though, have you seen the Springer that came out just a couple of years ago that's like full on straight out of Last Stand of the Wreckers? Nick Roach drew him. He walks
on. No, I have not seen. Anytime anyone mentions Springer to me, all I can think of is that cocky home wrecker from the movie. From the 86. I swear to God, if I have to say 1986 one more time, it's not you, Heather. This is why I loathe the Transformers live-action films, because anytime anyone says Transformers the movie, they're like, oh, 2007? No, you dumbasses, 1986.
Transformers the movie is 1986.
Yeah, absolutely.
I usually say the 07 movie or something.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. Springer. Ugh, God.
I actually really liked him. He's like my favorite character in the movie. I really like him a lot. And it's because I didn't view him necessarily as a homewrecker.
Yeah, well,
I didn't really sort of exclusively pair RC up with anybody in my head.
I mean, you know, she's got that saving grace moment with her and Daniel and Hot Rod. How can you not pair them? Anyway, it's a whole other discussion for a whole other day.
What it needs to be for you, Mike.
Yeah. What was the most money you spent on a Transformers toy item ever?
A single toy, the MP01, I think was like $80. And that was a big deal. My husband actually picked him up for me. And so it's got extra love in him. I love that toy. It's like so heavy and it's so busted now because we have played with him so much. But he's real to me. Like, my toys become velveteen rabbited after a while. Where it's
That's
not like I think
scary.
They get down off the shelf and walk around, but
they might. You never know.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, the next thing you know, you're going to walk into your toy room and see, you know, Starscream humping a giant metal bug. What? It happened in the cartoon series. It did. Starscream rapes giant metal bugs like Michael Bay rapes our childhoods. okay, so we've talked about it. The movieverse was what brought you into the fandom, but at this point, do you like, loathe, or are you indifferent to the Bayverse?
I wish I could be indifferent, but I still care because the movieverse is still so culturally influential. And so it does such a disservice to the goodness that exists in the rest of the Transformers universe. It just cheapens it so much by being so shallow. And I try to find good aspects in the movies. It's been increasingly difficult. This latest one, I got out of it and I'm like, I didn't despise everyone. Huge victory for Michael Bay. But, you know, that's a low bar. I didn't despise anyone. 5 stars. But, yeah. I'm sad because I went on like a little rant where I'm like, I feel bad for Peter Cullen because he has such a, his vision of Prime is why I care about Prime so much, because he has this extremely specific, based on his brother that he loves, version mm-hmm. of what Prime represents. And so I always get sad when he has to voice Prime as, I mean,
give me your face.
Yeah, as give me your face Prime. And I wonder if that makes him sad. And I was saying that on Facebook, and Pete Sinclair was like, he gets paid. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, oh man, I don't want to be that cynical.
But see, yes, he does get paid, and heaven forbid, I know everybody gets old. Okay, we know this. Heaven forbid anything happened to the man. But it's one of those things where ever since the 80s, every interview I have ever seen with him, he has equated Prime to John Wayne, and he is, you know, gone. I like to think Peter thinks in his own mind that we are still in 1984 G1. Obviously, things have changed over the last 34 years or so, you know, but still, you know, Sinclair is right. The guy does get paid for it, and there are times when he will say things in an interview that he may not have said 30-something years ago, you know, because times change characters, especially if it's in a different medium, like going from an animated series to a giant live-action movie.
Yeah, it's different. So, yeah. I guess I hope he still thinks we're all living in the 80s. I really do. And I cling to the people who are out there. I know that John Bailey does the Prime voice for a lot of things, and I want him to keep doing that. I think there's a specificity to that voice and what it represents to people. I know there's people who are like, dude, just get somebody else to do the Prime voice. We need to move on. And they have various reasons for saying that, but that voice calls up something very, very specific that I want to keep going. And I mean, I say this and I know it's silly, but that thing that Prime represents is so important to me that I, as like a 40-year-old girl, am going to continue being Prime the best of my ability, because I think the world needs that. I think the world needs that representation of a good person who's
absolutely
just trying to do the right thing.
Absolutely. All right. So, if you invaded IDW and you could create any... Oh, God. We've gone down a horrible, horrible rat hole here, folks. I think I need to go grab Rewind so we can, you know, Chrome Dome our way out of this. If you could create any Transformers fiction, toy, cartoon, comic, movie, etc., what would it be? What story would you want to tell with it?
Okay. The awesome thing is that a lot of it has been done. <I'm sorry. laughs> And the other good news is that I have spent the last 10 years creating what I wanted to have exist.
Mm-hmm.
And very few people have read it, and I can live with that. Like, I, you know, everybody who creates something wishes that everybody in the world would read it, but I'm also aware of its flaws. You know, the longer you write, the more you look back at stuff you wrote a long time ago and go, oh, I've learned since then. But so I've put in the effort and created a universe where people are trying to figure out how to get along and how to clean up messes and how to just live and what kind of society and culture to build. And that's what fascinates me. I've done a story about what does it mean to be a female character in, as the phone rings, in a bunch of dudes, and how you're, are viewed if there's only, like, you know, a few of you, and the guys are like, oh my gosh, they're precious, and you're like, I'm just the person, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess that's my approach to things, is if there's something that doesn't exist that I want to exist, I do my best to create it, put it out in the world. I wish I were a better artist. There's so many things I wish that I could draw and mm-hmm. haven't done, because I feel intimidated. But I do my best. And then when IDW does something very similar, I am super grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me just tell you, Mike, that you haven't finished Lost Light.
I haven't even started it yet.
The last time you see Megatron... The last time you see Megatron, Mike, he is in a place where he has a chance to redo everything without going off the deep end and to kill everyone. And he has just gotten a phone call from me, basically. And so, like, the two of us can work together to fix the world. And yeah. I was like, you know what? Dear James on Twitter, thank you. That's all I needed.
No. All right, so I have to modify this question because it doesn't pertain to you, but I'm going to modify it in a way that 30 years from now, are your children going to have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
I haven't gotten rid of any toys. There have been some that got grievously broken, but now the cool thing is the older they get, the better they are with glue. We actually have a super recent story, though, that we are all still in trauma about.
Okay.
Where my son brought a couple of Constructicons from the G1 painted Movieverse Devastator
mm-hmm.
that was a gift from a really good friend that he had wanted desperately. My 13-year-old boy gets really obsessive about things he wants
mm-hmm.
and... that's a whole nother issue. Every so often, he actually is able to get something. And so he got this Devastator. And they were the teensy ones.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them broke. And he recently found them all. And he found all the pieces. And he got out the glue. And he was gluing them together. Well, he brought two of them to church with us. And my oldest boy loves to... oh my gosh... refold robot people into new configurations. He will always discover everyone's Gerwalk mode and their quadrupedal mode and their everything. So he had put these two guys together to form Bone Cramp. And it looked like a creepy bug version of a front-end loader eating another thing. It was creepy, but anyways... they left it on a shelf above the coats, and somebody took it home with them. And Magnus watched this person put it in their bag and walk out the door, but wasn't able to stop them. And then a bunch of other kids found out what had happened and also sort of rallied around to try and get Seth's toy back for him. And they have not yet been successful. And
dang.
All of us are wigging out a little bit.
I imagine so.
You can't just go and find those. And
yeah, no.
They are Seth's. Yeah, so it's not so much things I'm going to get rid of, and my husband never gets rid of anything, but it is things that get broken or lost.
Mm. What is one piece of advice that you would give the Transformers fandom and Transformers collectors in general?
Okay, I thought about this, and this is what I would say. To be as kind and understanding as you know how. And to be grateful for everything that you get.
Mm-hmm.
I see more than I would like of people getting really intense about what they want, a la my 13-year-old son. And to the point where they're not able to just kind of be grateful for stuff and let it be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't like something, write fan fiction, make fan art, go find friends who feel the same way and pretend your own universe. We are here in this really fun place where there's constantly new stuff being added, and we can invent whatever we want. It's like a worldwide LARP.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even have to go out and hit each other with foam swords. We can just imagine it and draw it and write it. And if you can't do it yourself, just, you know, use your mind.
We can write it in all caps on the internet.
But just, yeah.
Pay attention to me!
I do feel like everyone has a voice, but your voice is no more important or less important than everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, say what you like, say what you don't like, and allow other people to be different from you.
All right, bonus.
Shout down each other's throats too often. Anyway.
Yep. That's bonus it. Question time. Something I forgot to mention. Where do you fall? Rumble is blue, Frenzy is red.
Oh! That's a fun question. Because, like everyone, I have a strong opinion. And I recognize that it is ridiculous to have a strong opinion, but I absolutely believe that Rumble is purple and Frenzy is black and red.
There you go.
Because
that's correct.
G1 is
yep.
my home.
Absolutely.
And yeah. So, yeah, every time they do comic book version, I recognize that the Brit people are like, no, man, that's our Rumble and Frenzy. And I'm like, okay, not mine. Hashtag
yeah.
not my Rumble, hashtag not my Frenzy.
Absolutely. Oh, God. All right. That's going to do it for us here this week on All Things Transformers, the Origins episode of Hahi Prime. Where can the people interact with you online if they would like to do so?
I still haven't figured out Twitter yet, but you can try. Basically, if you Google Hahi Prime, it's me. I'm on Facebook. I'm still on DeviantArt because I really like it as a platform. I'm on Tumblr, but if you try to talk to me, I will probably not see the message for a long time because I forget to look at the message box because all I do there is go, like, scroll through people's art and then reblog.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the best place to find me is Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, there I am. I do stuff.
Awesome.
I make art.
We are about a week or so away from starting Autobotly August. Ryan, the Unevenflow, Merkley, and I are going through various Transformers comics from IDW. We are going to wrap up More Than Meets the Eye and Lost Light because I did not realize that the Volume 10 trades were not the end, that they threw in 56 and 57 of both series into Titans Return. I have no idea why.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
anyway,
you'll see why.
Yeah, no, well, at this point we've already recorded that and it'll be out, but it's just one of those things. So we got that going on. Then after that, in August, we're doing the Autocracy trilogy.
Woo.
So Autocracy, Monstrosity, and Primacy. Lady Wreck will join us for Sins of the Wreckers. So there's that.
She's gonna die.
Oh, you have no idea the outtakes in that episode. Oh boy. you have no idea. After that, I believe it's after that because I don't have the document pulled up. Ryan, myself, and the Beatles diva herself are going to talk about Angry Birds Transformers, and then Ryan and I are going to close out with the Dinobot trilogy. I almost said Primes. Wow. Punishment, Redemption, and Salvation. So, and also,
good
we've
stuff.
Got...
I support your efforts.
Most of it's already done. I just have to edit it all now. But anyway, we are also having on August 9th, Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, we are going to have All Things Transformers 9th anniversary episode. So Steve Megatron will be back for that, as well as this is kind of his show, even though I've not really stolen it from him, but you know, whatever. We kind of share it at this point.
He should not have left his computer open with the password unprotected.
You have no idea.
Sarcasm not appreciated.
All right. I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can also follow at I think it's at All Things TFV3 on Twitter for the show, at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Transform, transcend, transform and roll out, and we will catch you next time here on All Things Transformers.
Woohoo!
We shall rise again!
which is a surprise because it was all about, you know, here's Megatron being a decent guy. And I'm like, oh, nah, nah, nah.
This is getting expensive.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Just because they have an unusual ability doesn't necessarily make them someone you'd want to know.
Go get your circuits checked, chum. Those guys are the greatest.
I heard that their leaders put together some kind of army and attacked one of the outer cities.
You'd believe anything.
Anyway, what do we care if there's a war? There's guardian robots to take care of stuff like that. Right now, we got fuel to unload. That's it. That's it. A little further. Perfect.
Hello there. I'm Megatron. What's your name?
Orion. Orion Pax. It's really a thrill to meet you, sir.
That was Megatron, flying over the energy docks. I'm sure of it.
So what's the big deal?
Wow. Are all those yours?
Yes. You see, I've been looking for a place where I could store my wares. I was hoping this hangar might be available.
Hey, who's that with Orion?
Oh, wow. It's one of those flying robots.
What do you store here? Raw materials or energy?
Oh, we only store energy here.
That's just what I wanted to hear. Decepticons, attack!
We brought the entire convention center to the brink of an inter-genre geek war.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the Geekcast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
You got the touch! You got the
power! Arise, Rodimus Prime.
Me Grimlock, not podcaster, me Grimlock King.
Since 2011, we have been taking you beyond. That's right, Tooncast Beyond has covered many cartoon series and films in our 4 years online. Now we take you even further as we reformat the podcast by covering any and all cartoon series by season. And we also have our animated film reviews. So join TFG and Mike and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you a different cartoon review every Wednesday on iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, GeekCastRadio.com. We are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Well, it's finished. You may not recognize him. He is no longer Orion Pax. Now he is the first of our new defenders, Optimus Prime.
I was wrong, my friends. I admired Megatron merely because he was powerful. I failed to see how he used that power.